Amen. And let's just follow him. If you have your Bibles tonight, the book of 1 John, and as you're turning there, may I say this. I was sitting there on the front row, and my ear opened while you were sitting there, then y'all came back to sing, and I looked, and I seen hands going up in the choir, and it was blessing me. And I've got to put my hands up and praise him too. And I thought about the fact, I mean, where I was sitting, I couldn't see part of the choir because this organ was in the way. And then the people in the front row, I couldn't see people that was about two or three rows deep from where I sit close up. And I couldn't see everybody's faces. And I thought about, the Lord sees every hand. And then I thought about, there's people on this side of me and people sitting behind me. And they're probably doing the same thing. And the Lord sees every hand. Amen. I thought about how he is hanging there on the cross that day of dying and people spitting at him and jeering at him and mocking at him. But if for any person that put their hand up and praise him and ask him for forgiveness, he'd see that hand and he'd save that soul and he'd forgive. What a Savior we have, amen. He's all seeing and all knowing and all forgiving. What a Savior tonight, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, 1 John chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1, I'll ask you to stand. We'll begin looking tonight. I want to read verse number 7. I don't know what I told you boys at the sound booth back there, I'll be honest, but I want to start reading in verse number 7. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. I want to preach on this thought tonight, Holy Ghost being our helper, the confession of sin. Father, would you help us tonight, Lord Jesus, as we look into your word. God, would you just open up the passage. God, would you help us to hear from heaven. Would you be pleased to speak to our hearts. Help us tonight, Father, as we try to preach. For this we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing tonight. You may be seated. There was a little boy that had gone to visit his grandparents, and his grandpa gave him his very first slingshot. Oh, he'd go out in the woods and how he'd practice with that slingshot, and he would target maybe a tree or whatever, but he could never hit his target. He had been out there almost the whole week. And one day as he's coming back from the woods, upset with himself because he still couldn't hit the target, he spied Grandma's pet duck. And on impulse, he thought, well, I'm not going to hit anything anyway. And he let go and he hit that duck and he killed it. The boy panicked. I've killed Grandma's pet duck. So he went and he got it and he hid it in the wood pile and stacked some other pieces of wood over the top of it. And he walked in the house. His sister Sally had seen everything that was done. And they went and got him some lunch. And at the end of lunch, Grandma said, Sally, it's your turn to help me wash the dishes. And Sally said, Johnny told me that he wanted to help in the kitchen in my place. And Johnny said, no, I didn't. And Sally leaned over and she said, remember the duck? And he said, yes, Grandma, I'll be glad to help you. And after he helped his grandma, he went back and he said, what do you mean, remember the duck? She said, I seen the whole thing. I know what you did. Well, later on that evening, it was time for Grandpa to go out and do some fishing. And he said, come on, Johnny, we're going to go out and do some fishing. But Sally's got chores to do. It'd be her turn. And she said, no. Johnny said he wanted to help tonight with the chores. Didn't you, Johnny? Johnny said, no. She said, remember the duck? He said, yes, I'll help. And Sally got to go fishing while he was having to work. And this went on into the next day and the next day. And finally, that little boy, Johnny, was so enslaved by what he had done. He went to Grandma and he said, Grandma, the other day, as I was coming out of the woods practicing with the slingshot, I let go and I killed your pet duck and I hid it in the wood pile. And Grandma, I'm so sorry. She said, Johnny, I want you to know that from my window I saw what you did and it broke my heart. But I want you to know that I forgave you at that very moment because you're my grandson and I love you. I want you to know, son, I've watched Sally mistreat you and enslave you. And I just wondered how long you'd let this keep taking place until you finally come clean about it. Honey, I want to tell you tonight, if you don't confess your sin, God already knows what you've done. Your sin is enslaving you, and the best thing you'll ever do is get right with God and go ahead and admit to Him and tell Him what you've done is wrong. Now, 1 John chapter number 1, verses 7 through 10 contains one of the most precious truths in all the Word of God. And I want to say three things about it tonight, and we'll be done. First of all, would you see our corruption? The Bible says in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, what does that mean? What is the disobedience of sin? It is an archer that is shooting at the target with his arrow, but he misses the mark. That's what sin is. All of us, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of Almighty God. It is an error. It is a bad action. It is an evil deed, whether by sins of omission or commission, whether great or small, they're all sins in the sight of God. Whether it's in thought, whether it's in feelings, whether it's in emotion, whether it's in action, it is a transgression of the law. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now it's amazing how all of us take to sin naturally. It is amazing that sometimes, you know, us preacher's kids, I'm a preacher's kid, Luke, you're a preacher's kid, God bless you. And a lot of times people come around and say, boy, you're terrible, you're mean, you're this, you're that. And I tell them every time, it's just not because I'm a preacher's kid, it's because I was forced to play with the deacon's kids. Say amen right there. Amen. Some of y'all didn't like that. We know why you're not smiling. Amen. But anyway, preacher's kids have a rough road. But I did not learn to lie because somebody taught me. It was not taught to me by the kids I hung out with. I learned to lie and I learned to commit sin and do bad actions because I have a flesh nature and because the devil's there to deceive and to try to destroy everyone. Hear me, it is my nature. And even, hear this, Paul said, when I know to do good, that I do not. Isn't that amazing? We want to do something good, and in trying to do something good, we'll still mess it up if we're trying to do it on our own and commit sin. So we see our corruption. There's the disobedience of sin. But read on. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, look with me. You're here in 1 John. We're going to do a lot of Bible turning, so I hope you have your Bible WD-40'd up and get ready to turn with me. We're going to turn to chapter number 5. And I want to read in verse number 17. 1 John 5, verse 17, speaking about unrighteousness. What does it say? All unrighteousness is sin. Ooh. All, not some, not part. 1 John 5, 17, all unrighteousness is sin. You see, unrighteousness stands in contrast. It stands in contradiction and in a disobedience to the righteous character of Almighty God. Now go back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is our disagreement. It is God calling us into fellowship with Himself, but we can't come into fellowship with Him because we're unrighteous, we're sinners, and He is righteous. We're unholy, and He is holy. And we cannot come together. Hey, the Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? And if you want to walk with God, you're going to have righteousness, and I don't have any. You're going to have holiness, and I don't have any, because I'm a sinner, prone to sin. Think about Adam and Eve. Let's just think God made them and put them in the garden in a perfect environment, in a beautiful atmosphere. And what did the devil do but slip in? And what did Eve do but sin and give to her husband that disobedience? And he knew that partaking of that forbidden fruit, he knew that he would make himself a sinner. But because he loved his wife so much, he had rather die with her as to live without her. And so he partook of the fruit himself in rebellion and disobedience to what God said. And God came walking in the cool of the day. They had walked together before, but this time's different. Adam and Eve are hiding. No longer are they out there to walk with God in the beauty of holiness. They're hiding. And what did God say? Where art thou? This is their time to confess, to tell God what they did. They're not playing hide and seek. It's not that they're hid somewhere that he doesn't know. He knows where they are, but he says, where art thou? To get them to confess where they are. God wants you and I to confess our sins to God. He already knows. And Adam and Eve, they tried to hide and tried to hide, but eventually they got right with God. And what did God do? But God took an animal, slayed that animal, and he covered up their nakedness. Amen. By the shedding of blood, they were forgiven. So we see, number one, our corruption. Say amen. Amen. Number two, we see our confession. Verse 9 again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, there's a word in here. It's a big word. Adam Edwards preached on it recently. The word was if. It was. Remember, he's preached on if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. Preached on the word if. So there's a possibility of confessing. What does that mean? There's a possibility, but it's conditional. There's a stipulation. We have to confess our sins. So if, based on what we do, the next word is we. Who is we? You and I, me and you. And of course, our writer here is John. John didn't say if you will confess your sins. He said if we. You know, he included himself in that action. He's saying, I'm a sinner just like you're a sinner. I'm unrighteous just like you're unrighteous. Hey, he called me to be his hand-picked disciple, and he loved me, but yet I have no righteousness on our own. If we confess, the word in the Greek, homologeo. Say that with me. Homologeo. Homo, that means same. Homologeo. It means to say the same thing. God says it's a sin. Get in agreement with God. Amen. Whatever God says about sin, you need to say the same thing about sin. If he says what you've done is sin, you need to say, you're right, God. What I've done is sin. Confess. If we confess, get in agreement with God. The possibility. Then there's a promise. If we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us, or he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What does he do? He puts our sins away. He washes them in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then after he washes and forgives and forgets about your sin, he looks at you just as if you had never sinned. When God forgave Adam and Eve, he looked at them just as if they had never sinned. He forgave them. Hallelujah. Now, recognizing ourselves then as sinners, we must confess our sins to God if you're going to have forgiveness. I have a word in the book of Psalms. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now this is a big deal. Confession must come from a humble heart. Confession must be true, honest, and sincere. Confession must be complete. Now, there are some particulars, and this is where we're going to get deep. I want you to think with me. In this verse, though the word never occurs, it implies repentance. What is repentance? It is a turning away from sin. It is if you get in sin and doing a 180 and going away from that sin. So if we confess our sin, whatever it is, he's faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But what he means is that once he cleanses you and forgives you and he forgets it, then you do a 180 and turn away from it. That's implied there. This is not just a ticket to say, well, I cuss Bobby and I cuss Bobby again. God, would you forgive me? I'll forgive you. And I cuss him and cuss him and cuss. No, there needs to be a repentance.
There needs to be a turning away from the deeds that you are doing. Now, can there be a confession without mercy and no forgiveness? I'm just going to say this. There's a wrong and a right way to confess our sins. They're not confessing them one man to another man. You're confessing your sins to God. This is a statement. I want you to hear it. There are those that live under a canopy of confession. If I tell God what I did wrong, I can just get forgiveness and it's automatic and I can just go my free way. It's a canopy. I want to talk to you about it. In the book of Exodus, I want you to turn there. Chapter 9. The book of Exodus, chapter 9. We see the children of Israel in bondage for over 400 years. We see God call Moses, who was a murderer. He slew an Egyptian. And for that, he got exiled out of the nation. And he went to the backside of the wilderness in the desert. And God, after 40 years, came to him in a burning bush, appeared to him. God started speaking to him and said, "You're going to go back, and I want you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go." Now, don't you know he's saying, "I can't stand up there and lead that people. I'm a murderer. I'm a wicked sinner. I mean, my sin's worse than anybody else. I can't go. As soon as I go back, they're going to say that you are a murderer." And he was. But the question is, does God forgive sins? Yes, he does. And he forgives and then forgets. And look what he did. He called Moses to lead the people of God. May I just stop long enough to remind you that Paul was a murderer. He held the coats of them while they stoned Stephen to death. He could have stopped it, but he was probably encouraging them. Said, "He's not dead yet. Hit him with another one. Here's a rock." He was a murderer. And God forgave him. And who did God call to preach? But Paul. Don't you know he said, "God, I can't go stand before them people. I mean, those are the same people that used to hear Stephen preach. They'll never hear me because they know I was consenting to his death." You see, God forgives us sinners. Amen. Moses goes back down there to Egypt and he stands before Pharaoh and he says, "The I am that I am says, let his children go. Let my people go." Pharaoh said, "Who is your God?" And we know plague after plague after plague came upon them. Now, in the middle of these plagues, chapter 9, we see in verse 22, there is going to be hail, H-I-L, H-A-I-L, falling upon all the land of Egypt. And the Bible says that God sent thunder and hail and fire, verse 23, ran upon the ground. He's got hail falling from the sky, thunder and fire all over the place. Look with me in verse 24. It was very grievous, none like it in all the land. Verse 26, but in Goshen, the children of Israel, there was no hail. Look at verse 27. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, "I have sinned this time." The other times I didn't. But I've sinned this time. I've went too far. Now, God said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I read it in your hearing that Pharaoh said, "I've sinned." What do you think happened? He said it just to clear up the matter. And as soon as it was taken away, he went right back to the same hard-hearted Pharaoh that he was. He confessed his sin. I'm going to ask you a question. Just because you confess sin, do you get forgiven? You see, there must be repentance. A turning away from your sin. Some people live under that canopy. If I confess it, God will forgive it. But you need to repent of it. It demands action from you. Say amen if you see that. Amen. It's a big deal. There must be a turning away from sin. Well, preacher Darren, okay, I see it there for Pharaoh. All right, what about 1 Samuel? Go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I've got more of these. I just want to hit two or three. 1 Samuel 15. We meet a man by the name of Saul, the tallest, handsomest man in all the kingdom. And he, by the people, is chosen as king. And God has Samuel anoint him, and all the people shout and praise God. And Saul was a testimony for a while. God said, I want you to go out and to the battle, and I want you to kill all the Amalekites. I want you to kill their king, destroy them all, destroy the sheep, destroy the cattle, destroy everything there. Saul said, I got it. I'll do what you said. And they got out there to the battle, and they started winning, and he decided, whoa, wait, don't kill these sheep. Look how pretty they are. Nice and fat, lean. We can use them. No, don't kill all the cattle. No, not all of them. We could use those. No, no, don't kill King Agag. No, we're going to take him back. We're going to make him walk with chains and fetters, and everybody will know that I'm Saul, and I've conquered, and I've defeated them. Now, the man of God, Samuel, comes to the battle, and he says, Saul, have you done what the Lord told you to do? He said, yep, I'm obedient. And he said, he heard something. Bah. 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 What? Wait, what is this bleating of the sheep? What is this lowing of the cattle? Why have you saved and spared the king alive? What? Saul, I demand an answer. God wants you to know. Rebellion, verse 23. Let's read verse 22 as well. Verse 22, sorry, end of the verse. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. There it is. Look at it. I have sinned. He confessed his sin. God said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But just keep reading. I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words. Colon. Because, God's not into your excuses. Because I feared the people. Now, he confessed and lied at the same time. Because I feared the people and I obeyed their voice. It wasn't them he was afraid of. He didn't obey their voice. He followed that little Saul voice, that voice of pride. Same one that's in you. The same one that's in you says, well, I can just go confess my sin and I can go right back to it and be okay. Let me tell you something. If there's no repentance involved in this thing, your sins are not under the blood. Preacher, man, I don't know about that. I don't think I like this too good. There must be a turning away from sin. I won't make you turn to it, but another little factoid about Saul. Saul was throwing javelins and spears at the man of God, David. And David was off in the hiding, and Saul was hunting for him. And David could have killed him. And David called him out on it. And Saul said, I've sinned. You've done righteously, but I've sinned. He confessed again. And it wasn't long before he sent out another party to try to kill King David, or David, and throw another javelin at him. You really think that that man who had been rejected by God, who said, I've sinned, but it was because I feared the people. I've sinned, but it's because I obeyed their voice. I've sinned, and David's more righteous than me. And he continues to sin and sin and sin. There's no repentance in Saul at all. Well, it gets quiet in here, but it's the truth. Can we see one more? Let's turn to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua. Back to the book of Joshua, chapter 7. God said, all the gold is going to belong to me. And awaken. Said, ah, when they got the victory and they overrun the city, he went and hid some of the gold. He went and hid some of the changes of garments and things like that. And he hid them in his tent. He disobeyed God. And they went to fight the next battle and they got whooped. And Joshua had to go knock on the doors of the tent and tell the family, we regret to tell you, your son was killed in action today. And Joshua, after notifying mother after mother after mother, laid on his face before God. He said, God, where are you at? Why did we lose this battle? I thought you was with us. God said, you forgot to pray. You forgot to ask me for my help and guidance in this battle. And in the last battle, one of you disobeyed God and took of the gold and the silver and the changes of garments, the things that belong to me, you stole it. Get up off your face, Joshua. Quit confessing your sins. Get right with God. Let's get some repentance going. So Joshua comes and he calls out all the people, tribe by tribe. And it fell to this tribe and it fell to the family of Achan. The Bible says in the book of Joshua, in chapter number 7 and verse number 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, and thus, the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they're hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. You know what happened to Achan? He didn't really repent. Every one of his family was destroyed. Every one. He confessed, but he only confessed because he was caught, not because he had a desire to get right with God. Lord, I don't want to say it, but I will. I want to say it. Maybe tonight, it may just be that God has given you a job and God has blessed you monetarily and financially, and you've decided, I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to give an offering because I need that to pay my car payment. I need that to buy clothes. And there are probably a mother who's bought a sweater to put on your little child, and you stole it from what belonged to God and you put it on your child, and they're wearing a curse that you hung around their neck because you stole it from God. Don't you get in here, Pastor Darren, and tell me I'm not tithing. Don't you bring it up. I've got car payment. That car is more than you could have ever afforded. And if you'd have went to God to start with, he'd have provided more than you needed. But you decided you'd do it on your own. I know it's not in my notes, but it's just coming out like a belt. And I will not apologize. I'm telling you, just as Achan stole from God, you are trying to disobey God and run around here and sing and praise and wonder why you can't hear him and wonder why things are not going well in your life. It's because you're under a curse. Oh, Preacher Darren, I can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you what I found out, me and my wife. You can't afford not to. Son, daughter, you hear me. You hear this old boy well. When I was a young boy, I got a job. We bought a house we couldn't afford. We had two vehicles we couldn't afford. We had power bill, grocery bill. I mean, we had dog food we had to buy. We had a lot of stuff going on. I'm telling you, I'd volunteer for work on Saturdays because it'd pay me time and a half. And one day on a Sunday, I decided I'd volunteer for double time. And I made a lot of money. Not only was I going to steal that from God, but I thought I was going, I didn't have to. It's the difference when you have to work on Sunday or when you volunteer to work on Sunday so you can get double time to try to get ahead. On the way home, it started pouring rain. And I listen, I had a car that come right at me head on, and I had to swerve to the ditch, and the ditch line was full of water, and I didn't think it was a ditch yet, but it was so swollen, and I run over a glass bottle, and it popped my tire, and there I am on the side of the road with a popped tire, made double time. Guess how much it cost? Exactly what I made, within like 40 or 50 cents. Cost me everything I made, and I learned right then, you can't afford not to tithe, and you can't afford to volunteer to work for on Sunday when you know better. And we'll come in here and say, oh, he's a wonderful God. Oh, yes, he'll forgive our sins. I love him. Ah! And we're stealing from him. Left and right. And we think he don't know. Because I blindfolded him. He don't see as I go out the door. He don't see what I'm doing. He don't see. They tried that with Jesus too. They blindfolded him. Slapped him through the face. Said, prophesy who it is that slapped you through the face. He could have told his name. Who slapped him? His mama's name. His daddy's name. The day he was born. His social security number if he had had one. He could have told him his address. He could have told him his cell phone number if he had had one. He could have told him his PIN code. To his phone, to his Apple ID, and to his bacon. He could have told him the day he's going to die. You know why they put that blindfold on Jesus? Because when they did slap him around, he looked at him as if to say, I love you. I forgive. And they couldn't take it anymore. He said, I can't look in his eyes anymore. I'm going to tell you something, y'all. You're not blindfolding him. He knows all. I know it's not popular preaching, but I'm just trying to tell you the truth. He knows all about it. Might I read one more? Preacher Darren, these are Old Testament. Yeah, you're right. I want to read one more. I got to get off this. Matthew chapter 27. One more. Come on. Matthew chapter 27. I just want to say that repentance that's born or confession that's born in a storm will die in the calm, and it's not genuine and it's not sincere. And if it's not, it's of no use. We meet a man who was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Honest. If you were looking for a pastor, said, well, we're going to invite Simon Peter. No, he denied the Lord three times. No, he always opens his mouth and inserts his foot. We don't want him. What about Thomas? Oh, no, he's the biggest doubter out here. I mean, he doubts everything. You can went through everyone. Oh, what about James? I'm telling you, man, he's got a temper. He wants to call down fire and burn up cities, and his brother John's just like him. These are two hotheads. You don't want him as pastor. Well, we might give Judas Iscariot. Oh, he'd be a dandy. He's educated. I mean, he was the treasurer of the group. He was probably the most trusted one. Judas Iscariot would make us a good pastor. And we know what Judas did, how he made a deal to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 3, when then Judas, Matthew 27, 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Now, I got caught up after a tent meeting. A man said, Judas got right with God. Oh, yes, he did, they said. Jesus made this statement. He said, Father, of them that thou hast given me, I have lost none. Save one. And that's the son of perdition. Son, S of O, perdition, P, the S-O-P. Who'd he give the sop to? Judas Iscariot. You know what he was saying to him? Judas, where art thou? He didn't say that. Judas, you're the most honored guest here. Judas, you're the most deserved one to be here. Judas, here's your opportunity to confess and get right. What'd Judas do? Did he confess and get right? No. Now that he's caught, when he sees he's condemned, he repented himself. I won't say this word in the Greek right, but it is metamelomai, and it means you got caught. You got caught. Now, he repented, not to God, he repented himself. He brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned. There's his confession. In that I have betrayed, look at the word, the, just one. There's only one innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. May I just say that I do not think Judas Iscariot got right with God. He's in hell right now. Well, Pastor Darren, what about others? I could read to you about Job chapter 7, verse 20, where he said, I've sinned, and he repented. God forgave him. I could read to you about David, 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. Thou art the man, said Nathan. And David got down and said, I have sinned before God. And God knew his heart of repentance, and God forgave him, though there were consequences. The sword will not depart thy house. What about the prodigal son off in the hog lot? Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. And God, through the Father, forgave him. God will forgive sins if we repent. Oh boy. All right, so let's go a little bit deeper. We go back to our text in 1 John. We've seen our corruption, and we have seen our confession. Last of all, let's talk about our cleansing. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, amen, and just, amen, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does he use to cleanse us? Does he use a pressure washer? Does he use Clorox? Does he use purple power? What does he use to cleanse us? Woolite? Oh, it makes that red dress, keeps it from fading like it used to fade. Huh? What does he use? Verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. The forgiveness of our sin is dependent upon the merits of the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you go to wash your clothes, you wouldn't pour in blood. No, you want to wash the blood out. But Jesus shed his blood that our sins might be cleansed. In fact, I love the King James Version because the word is cleanseth. I don't like the TH on the end. It just confuses me. I don't like it, that old King James archaic version, because it's hard for me to understand. Well, I haven't seen you change the song, How Great Thou Art. There's a thou in there, and there's an art in there. Let's just start singing, How Good You Are. Right? We don't have any problem with that one. But the scriptures, the thous and the arts, we want to change them. The word cleanseth is a present participle. It means continual action, does not stop, will not end. Thank God for it. He cleanses, cleanseth from all our sins. I say hallelujah. The Savior's blood is that cleansing action, that cleansing agent. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When he wants fellowship with us, we can't get to him, but we come through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're restored, and he gives us of his righteousness. All our righteousness was of filthy rags, amen. But he gave us garments of salvation, and now we can have fellowship with him through the blood and the merits of the blood of Jesus Christ. He said in Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousnesses and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. God never treats us any less graciously because of our sins for Christ's sake. I like what when he was born. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. He's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Acts 10:43. That agent is the Savior's blood. Now, he's got to be your substitute. If you're going to have the forgiveness of sins as a sinner and unrighteous, the only way you're going to have access to God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He must be your substitute. When man sinned, the law demanded that man must be punished. And whosoever sinneth, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. We're going to die in our sins. By one man, Adam, sin came. Even so by another man, the second Adam, which is Jesus, our sin is removed. All that Christ endured on the cross, he was our substitute. When you see that cross, It represents the place where you were supposed to die. You were supposed to be beaten. You were the one to be mocked at. You were the one to be spat upon. You were the one that's supposed to die there. But Jesus took your cross. And he paid sin's penalty and shed his blood that we might be cleansed from all unrighteousness, that we might be saved and go to heaven. 1 Peter 3:18 says, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Let me say it again. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. If Jesus Christ is your substitute, your forgiveness is absolutely certain. If you confess your sins and plead the blood of Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, your forgiveness is certain. Okay, I'm absolutely wore out. I'm South Carolina, I'm preaching. We've had a good meeting. People been saved, people getting right with God. And this family, son got saved, wife got saved, and a daughter got saved, and then the daughter's husband got saved, and grandchildren got saved. And every one of them, when the service is over, say, need my husband to be saved, grandpa to be saved. The same guy, he come, he would not move. He's watched his family get saved. He'd just sit back there and cry, but he would not move. He would not get right with God. And the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. And as a pastor or a preacher, I'm not going to come to you. I don't believe in that. And said, what you need to come up here, you need to get God showed me. No, I don't believe in it. God shows you, and God expects you. He's a gentleman. He expects you to confess your sin and get right with God. He's already paid the price. That gentleman would not move. We prayed and prayed and prayed. The meeting went over into the next week. Had to cancel another meeting and move it out so I could stay there at this specific place. And on about Wednesday night, I told the pastor, I said, it's the last night. It's the last time we'll be here. And before I preached, and on the last night, that man got up and he made his way to the old-fashioned altar and he bowed down here. And they prayed with him and prayed with him and prayed with him and nothing. They prayed for him, laid their hands on him. And he just there, weeping and crying tears, but he wouldn't say a word. Finally, the preacher came over. I was so many family members. I was way back over on the other side of the communion table, just praying, oh God, save him. God give him faith. God help him, Lord. He's moved this far, Lord. He must be willing, sort of. God, would you help him? And the pastor came and said, preacher, dear, I don't know what else to do. Well, y'all looking at me. I knew what I did. I couldn't get to him. I went through the communion table. I laid on that bar right there, on this section. And I went to him and I said, sir, can I ask you a question? He said, anything, preacher. I said, are you a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. Do you believe Jesus Christ is a Savior? Yeah, I believe he died and rose again. Well, if you're a sinner and he's the Savior, why don't you confess to him and acknowledge where you are and ask him to save you? He said, I can't do it. I can't. His family, oh, daddy, please, honey. I said, y'all just hush. I looked at him, I said, sir, I said, I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. You don't really, you've only seen me here just for about a week and a half. And I said, and tonight I'm leaving. I don't know if I'll ever see you again. If you die, you're going to hell and I'm going to heaven. I'll never see you again. I shook your hand one night when you walked out the door. You hugged my neck, but I'll never hug you or shake your hand again. Because you won't confess, you won't repent, you won't call on Jesus. And you've come to the altar, I don't even know. He said, preacher, I don't know what to do. I said, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you in politics in our area? Are you a leader amongst other people? Are you concerned about what people out in this world is going to think of you when you call on Jesus and you go out and you have to go tell them that Jesus has saved me? Your word, you're going to lose votes. Your word, what people are going to say? I didn't know. He said, yeah. I'm a politician. And some of the things we do, I'm not proud of. I said, well, tonight, He knows all about it. And he died on that cross for every wrong action, for every drink you've drunk, for every word you've said. He died for it all. But if you don't call on him, sir, you're going to die and go to hell. And you don't know that you're going to leave this church tonight and make it home. All your family, you've watched them all week getting saved. You'll never see them again. Never. He grabbed my hand. He said, preacher, right now, tell me what I need to do. I said, you just need to call on Jesus. I can't do it for you. You better start right now. Tell him you're a sinner. And he said, oh, God. I'll never forget it. Oh, God, I'm wicked. I worry what people think of me. Oh, God, will you forgive me and wash me in Jesus' blood?
Amen.
He said, I felt you dealing with me tonight and all week, and you may never deal with me again. Will you save me? Forgive me. And that night, honey, he got saved. When he finished praying, I still laying up underneath there, and I said, what is it, sir? Did he save you, or we do need to stay here? He said, I asked him, and he saved me. I feel a whole lot better now. And I did all week long. He looked at his wife. He said, let's get baptized together. He looked at his kids and said, let's go to heaven together. Man, that had us. I bumped my head two or three times getting out from underneath that communion table. Sometimes people shouting, they had a banister here. I had to jump over the banister to get out of their way because that's going to hurt somebody. I mean, them people was crazy for Jesus. It was unbelievable. I'm telling you, when your sins have been forgiven, you better get out of the way, amen, and somebody is going to have a shouting attack. Somebody's going to have a glory spell when you know your sins, which were many, have been taken away. But likewise, I could tell you facts and stories like that of people who would not get right with God. But for the grace of God that saved him that night, I could be telling you a different story. But God saved him. I look around this room tonight. I've seen many of you, look me eyeball to eyeball, I've seen many of you call on the name of Jesus and you got saved. I've seen you start walking with the Lord. How God's blessed you and he's given so much to you. Why in the world now would you want to bow up on him when he's been so good and not tell him the truth and not want to continue on with him a little further? If you'll go further with him, he'll go further with you. I'm just trying to preach tonight about the goodness of my Savior. Well, Preacher Darren, I just don't think I'm a sinner. The Bible says in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Honey, God is not a liar. You stand to your feet. Seth, I want you to come play. There may be somebody here. You need to just tell the Lord about it. Maybe tonight there may be somebody. Preacher, I can't go down there after that message. There may be somebody here that needs to say, Lord, I just want to thank you for forgiving me. I was condemned. I was unworthy. I was so undeserving. And through Jesus' blood, you made a way. And you not only saved me, but you saved my wife. You saved my spouse. You saved my kids. You saved my friends. And Lord, I got more than I want to see you save. So Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, while I'm here, God, would you cleanse? God, would you forgive? God, would you show yourself faithful and just one more time? Hallelujah. What a Savior. Father, tonight, we thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I don't want to come confess my sin and make some lame excuse. Lord, I want to confess my sin just to make the difficulties and the circumstances go away, not to return and serve you. Lord, I don't want to be a Pharaoh. Lord, I don't want to be like that. God, I want to be humble to be able to say, God, it's me that sinned. Lord, I've done wickedly, foolishly, committing trespass, iniquity, transgression, sin against you. God, I pray you'd forgive. Lord, there may be somebody watching tonight that's not saved. God, would you help them, Lord, to humble themselves and call on the name of Jesus, admitting themselves a sinner and calling upon the name of the Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God, if you save me, you'll save anybody. Oh, Lord, I praise you. Lord, when I could not walk with you, when I could not fellowship with you, God, I was on my way to hell. Jesus died in my place. Jesus convicted me of my sin. Jesus forgave me that July 13th night and saved my soul. And now I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I give you praise. Yea, I give you thanks. Would you continue to save? Lord, I have friends. I have family. Lord, I pray, God, enemies. God, that need to be saved. God, I plead the blood of Jesus. God, would you convict them one more time? There may be a son, a grandson, a daughter, a granddaughter. God, tonight that somebody's praying about. God, I pray it's in the Holy Ghost. Track them down. Convict them one more time, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, in the power of Jesus' blood, amen and amen.